Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Matthew 9 and verse 9, And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. This is the record of Matthew's call to service. He is also named Levi in Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. Immediately prior to this call, Jesus had healed a man who had palsy. He also had forgiven the man of his sins. The Pharisees criticized Jesus for what he had done, but the multitude feared God and gave him glory. Now Matthew was a publican, which simply meant he was a tax collector for the Roman government. He was a Jew in the service of the despised occupational forces of Rome. Publicans were classified alongside sinners. Any association with a publican was considered disgraceful. Publicans were considered traitors. When Jesus had any communication with them, he was immediately declared to be unfit. Yet, he called into his service just such a person. And Matthew arose, and he followed him. Even though it is not explicitly stated, very likely there had been some previous acquaintance or knowledge of Jesus by Matthew. It would seem very odd that anyone would abandon his pursuits in life and follow a total stranger without having any knowledge about him whatsoever. The success of Jesus was the willing acceptance of people of him. Therefore, it is fair to assume that there had been some contact between Jesus and Matthew prior to this call. Now, verse 9 says, Jesus saw a man. Matthew probably looked like other men in his appearance. His dress probably would not necessarily be distinctive. He could be lost in a crowd like anyone else. But when Jesus saw him, however, he saw something more than just another man on the street going about his work. Our Lord, being deity, had powers of insight that surpass others. Being God, he could know even the hearts of people. He could see the real person as well as the outward appearance. Jesus obviously detected something about him, something in him that others might never have suspected. Jesus could see not only what was before his physical eyes, but the possibilities in Matthew. He could see the potential. There was power for good if it could be channeled and directed. We would insist that there is much potential good in each one of us, and we need to recognize that. We need to allow the power that we have to be directed and guided by the Word of God. With every person, there is more than meets the eye. And Jesus saw a man that evidently was not completely satisfied with what he was doing and with what he was getting out of life. How can we know this? Well, the fact that Matthew readily left all that he was doing and followed Jesus shows us that he was not secure in his task. He did not find the collection of taxes for Rome to be the ultimate purpose and goal in life. He was not fulfilling the noble and spiritual needs that each person has. He may have been making much money. He might have had friends, and he might have even been looked upon by them with esteem. But if all that had been satisfied to him, he probably would not have forsaken them. As we have already suspected, his previous knowledge of what Jesus offered loomed high above his present activity. There are so many people in the world today who are living their lives with a great measure of malcontent, because what they are doing in their lives and with their lives is not the kind of thing that satisfies the souls of people. Many are searching for something and often following after most anything in the hope of discovering what is meaningful and what is truly beneficial in life. They would give so much to find what is needed. But Jesus knows what we need. Jesus knew that he could provide for Matthew what Matthew desired and what Matthew needed. He could bring to him the contentment and the usefulness in life for which he was created. And friend, Jesus can do that for all of us if we would but follow Him. So many times our problems in life result from the fact that we have yet to establish and to determine the proper priorities in life, and therefore seek after things that fail to satisfy and fail to produce what is really needful. Jesus saw a man, but also a man who was really better than that which his surroundings would indicate. We cannot always be absolutely certain about a person just because of where we find him or the company that he keeps. It is true that evil companions corrupt good morals, and a man is known to a great extent by the company he keeps. We remember the old adage that says, "Birds of a feather will gather together." Well, we would not void the validity of that notion. But at the same time, we must realize that people have found themselves, even placed themselves, in situations and circumstances that do not reflect their genuine worth and their character. They're out of place. And to emphasize this more, what if we had seen Jesus only when he was in the company of publicans and sinners? Would we not have rightly concluded concerning him that he was in their midst? But he was in their midst not for the purpose of participating in their evil, nor appearing to condone their sins. He was in their midst to save them. But who can deny that Jesus was far better than his immediate environment indicated when we saw him with the publicans and sinners? Well, the same thing is true regarding Matthew. Jesus saw that. As a publican, Matthew had a reputation that most of his fellow men would be despised. But one's reputation is not always the same as one's true character. It is true that our environment has a tremendous effect on our lives. We are not given to the doctrine that we are not accountable for our actions because of things around us are unfavorable. That's a false doctrine. But we are aware that what goes on around us does have influence on us. This is the reason we need to be careful where we go and with whom we associate, and the nature of the situations where we place ourselves. There are people and places that we do best not to be among them. It is not always easy for a person to overcome the forces of his environment. But there have been times when small things have triggered responses in people who are better than their conditions indicated, and things which have motivated them to come out of those conditions. Some years ago, there was a story circulating about a young lad, I believe it was in the city of Cleveland, Ohio. He had broken into a house for the purpose of stealing. But on the wall was a motto that read, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." This is a quotation from Proverbs 3 in verse 6. Now this lad had heard his mother read him that phrase when he was younger. And so he turned from his evil intent and he fled the house, never again to involve himself in such a thing as he was doing. Who could doubt that the lad was actually a better person than his immediate situation indicated? We would like to think this is the case with many of us. What we need is what Jesus offered to Matthew, namely, an opportunity to show that he was more worthy than the way he appeared. And Jesus, seeing a man, also saw a man in need of encouragement to do better. Because of his occupation, many would have shunned Matthew, even despised him. This was the customary reaction toward the publicans. We wonder if anyone ever spoke a kind word to him. I wonder if any ever expressed concern for his welfare. Did any even offer a constructive word of rebuke? Matthew was not a hard-hearted person who would not listen. Certainly he should and could and would be responsible to the proper approach. It took Jesus to show the proper interest in him to bring him out from where he was into the service he could perform. Matthew did not seek out Jesus as some others had done. The initiative was entirely with the Lord in this case. He sought Matthew because he was interested in Matthew. We must have this same attitude toward others, friend. People are not knocking at the doors of the church building seeking salvation. They may be there wanting some material handout for the moment, but not much more. few ever call the preacher and ask to be taught concerning Christ. They may call hoping he can work out a miracle of some kind and solve some problem that they have neglected and allowed to reach an almost unsolvable state. But seldom do they call because they are wanting to be saved. We must, like Christ, show an interest in them and seek them out. Possibly the reason so few are being saved reflects the unconcern of Christians for the salvation of others. But Jesus saw a man who would let his light shine if given the opportunity. Luke tells us how Matthew, whose name was also Levi, prepared a great supper for Jesus and invited his former associates to that supper. He wanted them to know what he had come to know. Now Christ was criticized for attending this feast, but Matthew was not ashamed of Jesus, nor was Jesus ashamed of Matthew. There was a man who was converted to Christ who had lived a very wicked life prior to his conversion, and he wondered how he might fortify himself against the criticisms and derisions that would likely come from his former acquaintances. This is an obstacle many have had to face, even from families. But the best weapon is to simply fortify yourself, declare yourself firmly, confidently, kindly, even while they may differ with you and denounce you. They will have to respect for the fact that you have made a decision. And the only way to take a stand is to take a stand, and let whatever consequences come be as they may. There is no easy way to live for Christ in a sinful world. Matthew was willing to take just such a stand and prove his willingness to follow Christ. Jesus chose him to be one of his apostles. But Jesus also saw a man who was willing to pay the cost. Luke 14:33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." Friend, this requires placing Jesus Christ and his will above everything else and everyone else. Until one is willing to do that, he can't be a disciple of Christ like he ought to be. Matthew was one who was willing to do that. He was willing to pay the cost. Could it be that too many of us want the blessings and the benefits of being a Christian, but are unwilling to assume the duties? Do we expect to receive the blessings, but are not ready to put him first in all things? Do we have the right to expect to sow the wind and then escape the whirlwind of consequences of our conduct? We shall be forgiven and can be forgiven of the guilt of sin. But many times, friend, we must reap the harvest of misspent hours and days and years. Are we willing to do as Matthew did, to forsake all and follow Christ? Now this is what he calls everyone to do. And what did Matthew receive from Christ? What did Jesus offer him? Matthew probably turned from a life that gave him luxury and wealth, even the pleasures of sin, and he turned to a life of poverty and suffering. But he also turned to a life of sacrifice and service to God and his fellow man. Christ gave Matthew the real reason for living. He gave Matthew the real purpose for existence. In addition, he gave Matthew that hope and expectation of living with God eternally. What more could one give another? There's a song that says, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you." The Lord is calling each one of us by his gospel to follow Christ, just like he called Matthew. Will we hear his voice and obey him in faith, repentance, confession of him, and baptism into him for the remission of sins, and be added to the company of the saved, which is the church? Then, having been raised to walk in newness of life, shall we live before him faithfully? This is what is required to answer the call of the Lord through the gospel. We pray that you will answer in the affirmative. Do as did Matthew, and follow him. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.